You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, earlier this year, RNIB Scotland, together with the Glasgow Speakers Club, ran a weekly public speaking course for blind and partially sighted people. Now, the six-week course came to an end with a wonderful event held at Glasgow City Chambers, allowing course attendants to present their speeches to a very captive audience, including Councillor Robert Mooney, who sponsored the event, as well as the Right Honourable the Lord Provost of Glasgow, Councillor Dr. Jacqueline McLaren. Now, before we proceeded with the speeches, I managed to speak to some of the attendees. Now, the speeches will be starting shortly, and I'm joined now by Jen Worrell, who has attended the course this year. You've done it before as well. How are you feeling ahead of the speech? Are you nervous, excited?
A bit mixed. I did the course last time about June 2024.
And I think you had a nice experience last time. I mean, clearly you're back.
Yes.
And can you give us a bit of a tease? What is your speech going to be about?
It's going to be about my furry friend who's lying on the floor called Snowball, and she's my first guide dog.
And can you describe Snowball to us?
Snowball's a 7.5-year-old lab retriever. She's gold and very, very hairy.
And she just did a big stretch as well, trying to squeeze herself right next to you. And it's quite a small seat here, so you don't have a lot of space for a guide dog, do you?
Well, when we're going up to speak, it gives her time to squeeze out the space and then go down to the lectern just at the side over there.
Well, good luck at the speech. I'm really excited to hear it.
Yeah.
And another person that's doing a speech today is the lovely Robert H. King. Hello, sir, again. Lovely to see you here at another event.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you and everyone else from previous RNIB events. Really looking forward to this. The whole course has been a bit of an eye-opener. Slightly nervous, but really looking forward to it.
What would you say is the biggest tip you learned during the course?
Confidence building and how to project my voice.
Ooh, lovely. I just heard that projection coming through as well.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the big thing for me is just structure in the speech. I've got a tendency to wander off at tangents, so now with a structured speech guided by the speakers group, I'm looking forward to it.
Amazing. Well, good luck, and I'll catch up with you after as well.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Mooney, elected members, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, to formally welcome you here today, may I introduce the Right Honourable the Lord Provost of the City of Glasgow, Councillor Dr. Jacqueline McLaren.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Glasgow City Chambers and to this chamber. This magnificent chamber and building was inaugurated in 1888 by Queen Victoria, with the first meeting taking place in October 1889. And to this day, this chamber serves the centre of societal, cultural and political discourse in Glasgow, with councillors coming together every 6 weeks to debate issues of importance to Glaswegians. It is therefore a perfect place to be hosting today's event, and I have no doubt that our speakers will do us all proud. I would also like to thank Councillor Mooney.
Let us welcome Jen Worrell.
Madam Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, what does a snowball mean to you? When you were a child, did you enjoy throwing snowballs at people at random? Or when you're a bit older and a bit more sense, did you enjoy the snowballs as they melted? Or did you enjoy the taste of a tonic snowball as it melted in your mouth? Well, the snowball I'm about to talk about today, you could create a fluffy snowball out for here, but I'm sure it wouldn't taste very nice. I'm talking about my first guide dog, Snowball, and some people call her my partner in crime. I waited 5.5 years for Snowball, and during that...
I'd like now to introduce our next speaker. It's Robert H. King, and his speech is entitled What's Wrong with the Boy?
Ladies and gentlemen, 16th of February, 1962, a little boy came screaming into the world. It was a difficult and unexpected birth at home. He was born with painful skin and serious congenital eye conditions. Cataract and glaucoma left him unable to detect anything other than light in one eye, and the other, turned out, was also permanently damaged. I was that little boy. Nobody realised how poor my vision was until primary school, sitting at the front of the class, screwing up my eyes on the blackboard, and just drew attention to myself. Despite physical and mental roadblocks, it is possible to live a creative life. Today it's no longer a case of what's wrong with the boy. Rather, what does this boy need to create?
I have a lovely group here with me today, and we have Claire Ford, who was one of the attendees of the course and learning about public speaking. We also have from Glasgow Speakers Club, and do correct me if I get this wrong, we have Grace Hendry Nash, we also have Bobby Livingston, and we have John MacArthur. So it is lovely having all of you here today.
Hello.
I think it's only fair we start with Grace, who is Madam Chairman today, or Chairwoman. And Grace, why was it important to do this collaboration again?
Today we heard five speakers rise to the occasion, and over simply 5 weeks of 2 hours per week, they developed into accomplished speakers. And the aim is not for them to necessarily follow this as a hobby, as we do. The aim for them is, as they go about their daily business, they feel more confident at speaking up for themselves.
And Claire, you were doing the course. How did you find it?
Well, I had already prior experience, unlike a lot of the members of the group. I actually was a member of the Greenock Speakers Club for many years, and when that disbanded, I actually thought, you know, I don't think this there's going to be ever an opportunity again to do something like this. So this came about, and I grabbed it with both hands to come along, and it's the best thing I've ever done, just because even though I've had that experience, you can always learn, you can always improve. And I think that just getting expert advice and getting critique, like important critique from people who have obviously been there, seen it, done it, really, and are experts in that field, is just fantastic. And it's definitely helped me a lot more with just my ongoing confidence. Obviously, after 12 years of sight loss.
And obviously, we have our coaches here today. Bobby, John, you haven't spoken yet, but you've seen Claire flourish. She's done this over a few weeks. What do you think is something she really excelled at by the time she was delivering the speech today, really? Bobby, would you like to start?
I think the key thing she excelled at was getting across the key elements of her story. Her story is absolutely vital because it affects others. Others who are young and experiencing those similar symptoms right now, or are fighting that issue with opticians and with the NHS, who need timely intervention and advice. And in effect, Claire is telling us that it's so vital to have that care and support, and it's a strong and it's a powerful message. And I think her story is a story that she can take out with these chambers to crowds of people, whether in schools or offices or wherever, to inform them and educate them about some of the challenges that individuals have, whether they happen to be health issues, disabilities or whatever. And Claire, to me, her story is absolutely vital in that journey, and she can continue to work at it and channel it into something incredibly powerful. It's already powerful, but she can make it even more powerful. And that's part of what we do at the Glasgow Speakers Club. It's all continuous improvement. We keep going. Claire said, as you heard, that her own speakers club closed, but you know, we would love that the RNIB had a speakers club as well.
Claire, how does it feel getting all that, I guess, a glowing recommendation?
It's incredible. It just means so much, and it's so humbling just to hear that other people have obviously took what I've said on board, and it's just amazing to have that impact. And you know, you don't take it for granted, and I'm just so grateful for it.
And John, I'm going to come to you, and you can maybe give us more of an overview, because obviously, aside from Claire, we also had four other participants. How do you think the group did in general? Are you feeling proud?
Oh, very indeed. As a coach, probably the greatest reward you can get is to see someone that you've worked with step up to the plate and, you know, hit a home run. And today we had five home runs. It was really marvellous. You get a great sense of fulfilment when you see that. And so from a coach's point of view, it's almost selfish. You get great personal satisfaction out of the performance of the people you've coached. The other speakers, they all had various they'd issues about their presentation, about their content, about their delivery, a whole range of things. And halfway through the course, I thought in some of their cases, I don't know if we're actually going to get there. But they all stuck at it, and we worked hard. And what we saw today were the results of that hard work. And really, we feel very proud.
Yes, hear, hear.
Well, on that note, thank you for speaking with me today. And hopefully we can see this course run again, maybe next summer. The following for years to come.
And our aim would be that some of RNIB members may start up their own speaking club, because ours is in the evening and maybe during the day would suit them better, and we'd certainly be willing to help them get started.
Fantastic. Well, the best way to get in touch with RNIB, if you just call the RNIB helpline, the number is 0303 123 9999. You can get in touch about the Glasgow Speakers Club. You can ask for Connor Joseph, who helped facilitate this club. Well, everyone, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio today.
Thank you very much. So here we have Luke Teasdale with a speech entitled Volunteer.
Lord Powis, Madam Chair, ladies and gentlemen. Winston Churchill once said, "We make a living by what we get, or we make a life by what we give." My name is Luke Teasdale. I'm going to be talking about my experience of volunteering, how I have benefited from it, and why I started volunteering in the first place. I am registered blind, however, I don't want this disability to define me. When I was at school, I started...
Today I'm going to talk about Braille, which was a reading system device particularly for visually impaired and blind people. If we can see that reading was a fire for sighted people, Braille was certainly a fire in the dark. It was invented, as probably most people know, by Louis Braille in about 1835. Louis had gone to a school for the blind, And he was a really gifted and keen student.
And I'm joined now by Morag Wilson and Luke Teasdale, who have just done their big speeches, the big culmination to your 6-week course. How do you both feel?
I feel all right. Quite happy now I've done it. I must admit, it was a bit nerve-wracking, because obviously before you go on the stage doing anything, or before you go and make a speech or do something for the first time, it can be very nerve-wracking. But I got over it, and I'm just very happy that I've done it now, and yeah.
Do you think you'll do it again?
Oh, 100%.
How about yourself, Morag? You're laughing. So you seem very light-hearted. Like, your speech was very educational. It was really nice to hear you talking about Braille, a topic that I feel, as you said, is quite, debated a lot whether it's still needed, but obviously it is, as your speech proved.
Yes, and I must say that I'm not a Braille reader myself. I don't know Braille, but I've recently come across a lot of people who do, and a lot of Braille materials. I've just taken over a job at the resource unit for the visually impaired in the Mitchell Library, and inherited a lot of Braille materials, and there's a lot of practitioners go, and so it's really changed my opinion of it, and I'm really quite fascinated by it now, and I think I will try and learn.
That's amazing. And what would you say is, you've done this 6-week course, what would you say is the biggest lesson you've taken out of it?
So I think I've definitely learned how to write a speech and what to include in the speech, and the best way to present a speech and present your voice as well.
Yes, I think the biggest challenge I had was cutting down the length of my speech and taking out bits that weren't, just editing. And so that's been really valuable. It just takes time, and you've got to be quite ruthless sometimes.
It's really hard when, like, you feel very precious with what you write, so you don't really want to. It's like cutting down your babies. You're like, no, this is, I took so much time and I love this, but it doesn't always work. It doesn't always need the extra flourishes. And for anyone who's maybe thinking about, gosh, would public speaking benefit me in life? Like, I'm not a politician, I'm not a teacher, I don't need to learn this. What would you say to them?
Oh, absolutely. I think definitely come along, because you can definitely benefit. And I feel like before I came, I felt like there wasn't really anything to learn, to be honest with you. And I wasn't sure what I was going to learn. But after walking away after 5 weeks, coming in here, I feel like I had a lot that I did learn from it, and I do not regret coming at all. I think I'm so happy I came along, and it's been great coming along and seeing what it's like to create a speech and write a speech and perform a speech as well.
Yes, I think even if you think that you're quite a confident person, it's quite a different skill to compose a speech and deliver it, and that was certainly what I've found. I actually found it really easy in the first week to talk off the cuff for a certain amount of time, but when it came to actually planning a speech, it was really quite challenging. But you do get such a feeling of achievement at the end that it's definitely worth doing.
Fantastic. Well, Morag and Luke, thank you so much for speaking with me today on RNIB Connects Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm joined by Councillor Robert Mooney, who is the sponsor of today's event. And you also supported this course happening. So how did you get involved?
I'm actually registered blind myself, and so is my wife. And I've been involved with the RNIB and the trade union movement as a disabled person for the last 50 years.
And how did you think everyone did today? I mean, it's quite nerve-wracking going up to a podium and doing a big speech for so many minutes and, no one else is talking, it's just you.
Yep. I've been a councillor now for 9 years. I've been involved with the trade unions for 50 years. I was president of my trade union. I've held many trade union positions, obviously been to many conferences, having to speak constantly, and I hate it. And I'm the worst public speaker in the world. I've always got to have it written down, and I take my hat off to every single person that spoke today. They were fantastic.
Maybe you should join the Glasgow Speakers Club.
I think I should. And it's so important as well. This is the third one that the Speakers Club have held in the City Chambers, and it's really important, especially for young adults with sight loss, and the confidence it gives them is you couldn't get that, you couldn't buy that confidence. It means a great deal.
Because that's the thing, when you are blind or partially sighted, you often have to speak up for what you need, because people might not know, they might not realise, and trying to advocate for yourself is scary, it's stressful. If you don't have that confidence, it can be very, very hard.
Yep, and just on that topic, I've been a counsellor now for 9 years. One of the few counsellors with a disability, and unfortunately with the problems that the City Council and government have in general with finance, issues to do with disability are way down the bottom of the list. And what we need is more people with disabilities to put themselves forward for whatever political party to get involved with politics, because that's the only way that we're going to see change, is having more disabled people in politics.
And speaking up and representing, like yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And our voice, I'm afraid, isn't being heard. We need more people. So anybody out there that has got any inclination at all, go to your political party of choice, get involved and become a councillor.
Well, Councillor Robert Mooney, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Yep, thank you very much.
We've just heard all the speeches, and we are joined now by the Right Honourable, the Lord Provost of Glasgow, Councillor Dr. Jacqueline McLaren, and Director of RNIB Scotland, James Adams.
It's a great day, isn't it, James? We've had a lovely morning.
Lovely speeches as well, and yeah. You gave a speech of your own as well. We didn't expect to get a bit of history.
Well, I know, but it's always good to get that wee bit of history, because lots of people, when they come in here, they like to know about Queen Victoria. And actually, there's a bit of marble along the corridor there where you can actually see a shape of Queen Victoria in the marble. And I always tell people when they come in, and I show that to them.
That's amazing.
So when she came, obviously, you know, there was big parties galore, dances and dinners. And then she went over to Kelvin Grove Art Gallery. And I don't know if you know this, but on the, as soon as you get in the art gallery from the Dumbarton Road end, if you go up the stairs to the left, there's an enormous painting, like nearly the size of this wall here. And that is the great and good of the day when Queen Victoria came. And that's the painting of depicting her.
It is massive. I think it's an entire almost staircase,
so,
right?
So that was that was painted at the time for her coming here. Wow. And that was her giving the Lord Provost a knighthood of the day.
Mm. And why do you think it's so important? As I guess both of you do a lot of public speaking, why do you think it matters in day-to-day life, just beyond public office?
Confidence in young people, and I think people, a lot of Glaswegians lack confidence in public speaking. I mean, I myself went to the Speakers Club way back in 2017, but Grace told me I was a bit of a natural for talking, so I didn't have to actually complete the course. But I was quite nervous to actually do public speaking. Now the confidence grows the more you do it, and the young people, they're just on the start of that journey for the confidence to build. So hopefully they'll be in here as counsellors in a few years.
How about yourself, James?
I think that it's natural people do have an apprehension about public speaking, because it's quite difficult to put yourself forward and what you're saying out there, because you worry about it. It's quite natural. So I think the Glasgow Speakers Club, what they do is they really try and get you over that particular barrier, that hurdle, so that you just feel more able to express yourself and get across your points. And being able to speak in public is such an invaluable skill in life that just helps your confidence right through, you know, throughout your time, out your life. And, you know, it helps enhance your employment opportunities. It helps you just out and meet more people, and it makes you feel good once you've done a speech and you sit down. You get a sense of relief. I get that in the chamber sometimes. It can be a bit nerve-wracking. We do have some testy discussions in the chamber sometimes.
Oh yes, I've had a few. But
once you've said your bit and you're finished, then you do get a sense of relief and a little bit of warmth having achieved it. So it's a really positive thing that we've been doing today.
Because I feel like behind every speech, and I think it was Bobby that talked about needing heart behind the speech when he was talking about Martin Luther King, and I think I agree, but like personally, what would be your biggest tip for speaking up and advocating for yourself?
So everyone has a voice. Not everyone has a voice, but everyone has got a voice. They should use that voice and utilise that voice to make changes for others. And to do public speaking, to get to that level of being confident and not being frightened to speak or say what you want to say or what needs to be heard, it takes a while to get there, but I would encourage everyone to do courses of public speaking. And I think some of the councillors, I think, have done some of the public speaking but courses, but we need to do more of that.
Just get them back.
Maybe we might need to get them in because there's been... I'm saying nothing. Zip, my lips are zipped. But it's a great thing to have the Glasgow public speakers in here. And I've been to quite a few different events. But, I mean, you should just see the confidence in young people when they just start that journey. It's amazing.
How about yourself,
James? One of the tips I would sort of give is that, obviously, when I started my career in public speaking, I was very nervous about it. But what I used to do is write down... Everybody's got their own style of how to do your speaking, of what you're going to sort of read out, of what message you want to give out. So what I've found is my own personal way of doing it best is actually just having bullet points. But I think you need to develop a real confidence in doing it that way because you're worried in case you go off your own script, if you like. Mm-hmm. So often the temptation is to write down verbatim exactly what you're going to say. What I find when I do that, which I normally do if I'm doing a big speech, is often end up wandering off topic anyway. Because once you get going, so it's about finding the way it's most comfortable for you. I think that helps you be able to articulate more effectively.
And what I would always say is to people who are on that journey, try and be as natural as you can. Don't try and be another person. Just be yourself.
Yeah. Because there's no one else like you.
No. Everyone's unique in the world. We've all got our own gifts and we like to just share them with everyone.
Well, on that wonderful note, the Right Honourable the Lord Provost of Glasgow, Councillor Dr. Jacqueline McLaren, and Director of R&B Scotland, James Adams. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.